Did you know that Jesus was Jewish? You might be asking, what does that mean for your Christian faith?
Watch today and discover how understanding the Jewish roots of your faith and your connection to Israel and the Jewish people
can transform your life and the way you read the Bible. Coming up on Jewish Voice.
Shalom and welcome to Jewish Voice. I'm Jonathan Burness. This week we're celebrating Pentecost, or Shavuot in Hebrew. My co-host Ezra Benjamin and I are believing for an outpouring of God's Spirit today in your life. Ezra, what a week.
What an incredible.
This is a really important week. This is a really important holiday.
Yeah, such an important time on God's annual biblical timetable. And yet, Jonathan, for most of our Jewish people around the world, we see it come and go on the calendar. We don't really understand what it's about, right? It's maybe the most misunderstood and under-celebrated of the Jewish holidays.
Yeah, which is strange because it's such a major feast. This is one of three times during the biblical calendar where the children of Israel, the men, were commanded to leave their homes and on foot or by donkey if they had the resources, the means, they had to travel all the way to Jerusalem to worship God, to meet with God.
Right.
And that's why there were so many Jewish people in the temple worshiping when the Holy Spirit was poured out, because they were following the commandment to return to Jerusalem for the three feasts. So Ezra, Passover is the first. The men were commanded at Passover to make their sacrifice in the temple in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. And by the way, you see Jesus following the commands. He was traveling to Jerusalem to fulfill the command to be in Jerusalem for this pilgrimage feast.
Okay.
Paul also, on the pilgrimage feast, sort of dropped everything. He was in remote parts of the Roman Empire, and he came back to Jerusalem. And that took a long time. That was a big sacrifice of time.
Right.
But they did it because this was an important command.
God's
go
command.
To Jerusalem and meet with your God.
Yeah, so important.
Passover, number one. Number two is Shavuot.
Okay.
It's Pentecost. And this is the one that's overlooked by most American Jews. Israelis go on a picnic. But it's a major event biblically. And the third is Sukkot. It's the final wrap-up. It's the Feast of Tabernacles. It's the great ingathering. And that's something that the nations will celebrate in the millennial kingdom.
Amen.
In the messianic age. The Gentiles will go to Jerusalem physically during the millennium to worship God,
the
God of Israel.
Yeshua rules and reigns on earth.
Right.
The Jewish people and all of you who believe in him are going to march into Jerusalem to celebrate these feasts.
Yes. So these are really important events. These are historic events. They're prophetic events. They're God moments. Yeah. Mark Biltz calls the cycle of feasts God's daytimer.
Yeah.
And I agree with him. This is God's daytimer, and Shavuot or Pentecost is a huge event. Most Christians, you talk about Jewish people not realizing the significance.
Sure.
Most Christians, although they look at Acts chapter 2, we're very familiar with Pentecost. Mm-hmm. This is many teachers, they refer to this as the birthday of the church.
Right.
And I agree with that to some extent. This is the promise that Jesus gave his disciples.
Okay.
Yeshua said, wait here, tarry here in Jerusalem, to use the King James, until the promise is fulfilled. The promise is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And Ezra, you see that the first coming of the Messiah parallels the first three feasts in Leviticus chapter 23.
Okay.
They are fulfilled or filled to fullness. So you reverse the syllables, you have filled full with the coming, the first coming.
Yeah.
The fall feasts connect with his return, but the spring feast, Passover, Shavuot, or Pentecost, and of course in between them, the resurrection, the first fruits, are directly fulfilled when Jesus dies as the Passover lamb. He dies at the same time as the lambs are being sacrificed.
On the eve of Passover.
On the eve of Passover.
Yeah.
He's the Passover lamb that takes away the sins of the world.
Mm-hmm.
He's resurrected on the Feast of First Fruits, which is the first harvest of the earth. It's a barley harvest.
During the season of unleavened bread.
Season of unleavened bread, the Passover. And he becomes the first fruits of life from the dead for us.
Wow.
Directly fulfills the feast or brings it to fullness.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third one is Shavuot. What is the fulfillment of Shavuot? It's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. What is it in the scriptures, it's the first wheat harvest.
Interesting.
What's the wheat harvest symbolize? Souls.
Wow.
And 3,000 are saved that day. And they were all Jews or proselytes to Judaism in the temple there because they were commanded to go to Jerusalem for Shavuot.
It's incredible. Just at that level, Jonathan, it's incredible. But there's so much more context. And I hope you at home, whether you use a pen or a pencil and paper, or whether you use your tablet or whatever you need to use, get ready to take some notes because we want to get into the context.
Now, let me really blow people's minds,
sure.
Okay? Here's something that many of you did not know. Some of you do. Many of you don't. We were talking about this with our group, and many didn't know this. Hmm. Not only is Shavuot the first wheat harvest, which is directly fulfilled with the first intake of souls into the kingdom of God beyond
in the, book
the
of
disciples
Acts.
In the 120, in the book of Acts. Mm-hmm. This is the first great harvest.
Okay.
In the temple,
yeah.
3,000 Jews, and they didn't convert to Christianity. Some of you might be shocked by that. They didn't convert to Christianity. The Holy Spirit fell on them, and then they discovered that Yeshua, Jesus, was their promised
Messiah. The promised
one, yeah. They were changed in the blink of an eye by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But here's what's mind-blowing. Not only is this the wheat harvest, the mm-hmm. first harvest of the year, mm-hmm. symbolic of souls, but according to the rabbis, Ezra, this is the day that the law was given at Mount Sinai. Moses received at Mount Sinai the Ten Commandments,
okay.
the giving of the law, which establishes Israel as a nation. They were already a people, the Hebrews. Now they're the Israelites. They become a nation at Mount Sinai. That took place on Shavuot, on Pentecost. What am I saying? I'm saying that the same day that the law was given, now the Holy Spirit is poured out. The law, the Spirit.
The same day
on the
Jewish calendar.
Same day of the Jewish calendar. The law, the Spirit, in Acts chapter 2, they are connected.
Wow. Jonathan, immediately my mind jumps to Jeremiah 31, because we're talking about the giving of the law written on tablets of stone, the first Shavuot in the wilderness, and then the giving of God's Spirit, which is really our ability to have His law, His words written on our hearts, Jew and Gentile alike.
Now, that's that's the result of a messianic theology.
Sure.
Because what many Christians are taught, and maybe you've been taught this, the law is over here in the old. It's done away with. Hmm. It's a thing of the past. And now we have the new. Over here you have judgment, and you have law, and you have a punishment and vengeance. And over here you have grace and healing and forgiveness.
Right.
The law's gone, now it's the Spirit.
Now it's grace time.
There's a problem with that. And the problem with that is that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Right.
He doesn't change. He's not a changing God. Now, we're no longer under the law. Paul's made that very clear. We're no longer under the law.
Yeah.
So the question is, Ezra, where's the law?
Right. And Yeshua said, I haven't come to abolish it, but to fulfill it. So where is it being fulfilled?
Yeah, so many teach it's dead, it's done away with, it's a thing of the past. No, Jeremiah 31 is the answer. And that is that the laws which were on tablets, which were external, which were on our shoulders, so we were under it, are now inside of us. How? Through the deposit of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost, Shavuot, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, we now receive the Holy Spirit, and along with that comes the laws of God now written in our heart. I hope you're getting this.
Yeah.
This is huge. The law's not dead. It's inside of you. That's so important.
It's huge.
It's so, so important. You have the laws of God within you. We have to take a quick break, but we'll be right back to look closer at Shavuot, at Pentecost, because this is your day for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Don't go anywhere.
It's time on God's calendar for the celebration of Shavuot, or Pentecost. This very special time of year is a remembrance of all God has blessed us with in our lives. Rabbi Jonathan wants this celebration to be significant for you and your family, so he's bundled together some great resources. As you support Jewish Voice Outreaches in Africa with a one-time gift today of $40, Jonathan will send you this educational book, The Spring Feasts and Purim, his personal teaching, The Feasts of Israel, on two audio CDs. and this beautifully bound devotional entitled Appointments with God. These three resources will provide you with information you need for celebrating these special holidays with your family. Again, we'll send all of these materials out to you right away for your one-time gift of $40. Jonathan is asking you to join him as a monthly partner with Jewish Voice. In return for your ongoing support of just $30, you'll receive all of the resources already mentioned, as well as this wonderful wood case containing the Ruth Scroll, printed in Hebrew and English, and beautifully embellished artwork. This will certainly be a lasting reminder in your home of God's faithfulness to His people. Please call the 800 number on the screen now and let our representative know what level of giving you wish to participate in. Or you can always choose to give online at jewishvoice.tv. Now, let's rejoin Jonathan and Ezra.
I really want to encourage you to become a Jewish Voice partner. I'm passionate about this because I understand that it takes this partnership. You may not be able to go out on the field with us. Maybe you can. We welcome you to come with us to Ethiopia, to Zimbabwe, to Zambia. But maybe you can't. But you can be there in spirit by sending us. Romans 10 says they can't hear unless one proclaim, and they can't proclaim unless they be sent. So this is a partnership of sending so that we can proclaim the gospel to Jewish people. And I really want to get this Ruth scroll out to you. Why Ruth? Because Ruth is the one that said, your God will be my God, and your people shall be my people.
Yeah.
And you have been grafted into the Jewish people. So you are a Ruth who needs to demonstrate that your God is the God of Israel, and that your people not only are the world, but especially the Jewish people, because there's a unique calling to provoke the Jewish people to jealousy. So become a monthly partner with us. Ezra,
Shavuot.
It's Shavuot. It's the outpouring.
Yeah. And I just want to keep getting our audience more and more and more context, because the more you understand the context, the more the New Testament is going to open up to you from Acts 2 all the way to the end. Jonathan, one question, though, that we haven't covered yet. The word Pentecost, maybe originally Greek, Latin origins, and then the word Shavuot,
right,
Hebrew. These sound very different to my ear, and yet we're talking about the same thing. What do these words mean?
Well, we are talking about the same thing. And I want to segue just a second and say the same idea with Christ. The word Christ for a Jewish person means the God of Christianity, but it comes from the Greek Christos, which means anointed one. It comes from the Hebrew word Mashiach, Messiah. Hmm. Christ is Messiah.
Okay.
And that's when a Jewish person understands, oh, okay, I get it now, because I understand Messiah, but Christ means something very different. Pentecost and Shavuot are the same thing, Ezra.
Interesting.
Penta is 50. Hmm. So this is the 50th day, but based on the Greek.
Okay. Now, what's the Hebrew mean?
Hebrew, Shavuot is week or weeks. This is, so the number seven in Hebrew is Sheva.
Right.
And that means seven. So this is seven times seven. It's the 50th day after seven periods of seven.
Interesting.
It's exactly the same thing. It's the same day. It's the day where the law was given and the day in Acts chapter 2 where the Holy Spirit was poured out. This is no coincidence that the people that were in the temple were at the right place at the right time, foreordained by God, that on this day of the giving of the law, on this day when the first wheat harvest would be gathered and celebrated.
Okay.
Wheat is souls. Prophetically, wheat is souls. This is the first great gathering of souls into the kingdom of God in Acts chapter 2, 3,000. And they were all Jews or proselytes to Judaism. They were in the temple worshiping.
Right.
They were born from above in a single moment, and everything changed that day. This is a sequence, Ezra. Penta, 50, Shavuot week, 7 weeks of seven, the 50th day, the giving of the law, the wheat harvest, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and the first gathering of great gathering of souls.
Amazing. So important for you to understand as you're, I hope, taking notes at home. People weren't just, all these people from Jewish communities throughout the known world weren't just by happenstance in Jerusalem. They didn't just get together for any reason. They're there waiting and praying on a biblical appointed time, remembering the giving of the law and waiting for a wheat harvest,
and
then
their,
the Holy
Spirit
shows up.
And they got the reward. They were at the right place at the right time, and I want you to be at the right place at the right time. This is true of every biblical feast, by the way. Hmm. It connects either to a direct fulfillment in the first coming, the death of Yeshua as the Passover lamb, mm-hmm. his resurrection as the first fruits of life from the dead. When? Mm-hmm. Not on a random day. On first fruits. Hmm. And the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, not on a random day, on the great harvest of Pentecost, Shavuot. And the same is true of the fall feasts
right.
that will yet to be fulfilled. Something prophetically will happen on Rosh Hashanah,
yeah.
on Yom Kippur, on Sukkot, that's directly tied to the return of the Messiah. This is God's timetable. This is God's calendar.
Amazing. And I hope the Lord's opening your eyes at home right now. And the reason we share with you all these things is so you have the context and that God opens your eyes to the Jewish roots of your faith. Easter related. It can't be disconnected from Passover. And Pentecost,
absolutely.
It not just can't be disconnected from, but is Shavuot, this Jewish feast.
How about the Last Supper? This is not some final meal only. This is the final Passover Seder meal. And everything
a Jewish feast.
A Jewish feast, and everything has very specific meaning. The cup mm-hmm. that Yeshua blesses mm. and defines as his blood, interprets as his blood, is the third cup. It's a cup of redemption. No coincidence. The
yeah.
matzah
yeah.
is unleavened bread. It's his body. Why? No sin. There's no leaven. And it wasn't white bread. It was matzah. Everything connects. And the more you understand these interconnections, the more appreciation you can have for the God who is never changing, his word, which all ties together and really doesn't contradict itself. It's not the God of the old is a God of judgment and the God of the new is a God of grace. There's grace and there's judgment in both the old and the new.
Yeah. So, Jonathan, how does our audience watching at home bring the realities of Shavuot, of Pentecost, to bear in their life today?
Yeah, well, we're no longer under the law, but the law hasn't disappeared. It's in our heart. And with that comes a revelation of what's pleasing to God and what's displeasing to God. Hmm. And we have it all here. And today is an opportunity to really connect with that reality that the Holy Spirit lives in us.
Yeah.
And he wants to explode in us.
Right.
We may be buried by the things of the world. You may be facing financial challenges. Mm. You may be dealing with the separation of a spouse. Whatever you're going through, the Holy Spirit is right there, ready to be poured out on this situation. As you grab a hold of him by faith, you're going to release something new, a new Pentecost or Shavuot
Amen.
Upon you, upon your household. In Jesus' name.
Amen. So important for you at home to understand this concept. It's not tablets of stone giving us from the outside in the law, but it's the Holy Spirit poured out first on Jewish people on that first Pentecost, now the inside out, the law written on our hearts, working itself out in lives.
Yeah, what I think is a problem that needs to be addressed and resolved is the idea that grace and law somehow oppose each other. Hmm. And are repelling each other. Yeah, legalism repels grace.
Sure.
It does.
Sure.
When we're legalistic and bound up in the law, it repels grace. But when we correctly understand that law and grace are intermingled together, we have mm-hmm. the grace to keep the law, mm-hmm. reinterpreted law, and all of this has been internalized, things start to come together in
yeah.
a way that doesn't make sense otherwise.
Right.
I don't see a different God in the Old Testament dealing with Israel and a different God in the New. When we focus just on mercy and grace, we miss a God who has standards, who
sure.
hates sin.
Sure, who is holy.
And, yeah, who's holy. And vice versa, when we see this God of judgment and retribution, we miss the grace of lay your hands on the scapegoat and send it into the wilderness
right.
or sacrificial system to cover sin so God can dwell among us. All this can come together
sure.
when
Amen.
We begin to understand Jeremiah 31, mm-hmm. the law has been written in our heart.
Amen. And you have the answer at home and you can share it with a Jewish friend, family member, or neighbor. You have the answer.
Yeah, we have to take a short break. But I'm going to be back with our Ask the Rabbi segment, where I answer some questions that you've sent in. I also want to take some time to pray for you, for the needs of your family, because we believe in a God who hears and answers prayer. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
It's time on God's calendar for the celebration of Shavuot, or Pentecost. This very special time of year is a remembrance of all God has blessed us with in our lives. Rabbi Jonathan wants this celebration to be significant for you and your family, so he's bundled together some great resources. As you support Jewish Voice Outreaches in Africa with a one-time gift today of $40, Jonathan will send you this educational book, The Spring Feasts and Purim, his personal teaching, The Feasts of Israel, on two audio CDs, and this beautifully bound devotional entitled Appointments with God. These three resources will provide you with information you need for celebrating these special holidays with your family. Again, we'll send all of these materials out to you right away for your one-time gift of $40. Jonathan is asking you to join him as a monthly partner with Jewish Voice in return for your ongoing support of just $30. You'll receive all of the resources already mentioned, as well as this wonderful wood case containing the Ruth Scroll, printed in Hebrew and English, and beautifully embellished artwork. This will certainly be a lasting reminder in your home of God's faithfulness to His people. Please call the 800 number on the screen now and let our representative know what level of giving you wish to participate in. Or you can always choose to give online at jewishvoice.tv. Now, let's rejoin Jonathan and Ezra.
Welcome back. We've been celebrating Shavuot or Pentecost this week, the outpouring of God's Spirit, and believing with you that this is your week of outpouring. God wants to minister to you, to your family, to your children and grandchildren, whatever you're going through. There is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit within reach. And now we're going to take some questions that you, our viewers, have emailed in. I love this part. I love answering questions, and we always have some great ones.
Yeah.
Ezra, let's
some
start.
Some great ones today, Jonathan. Landon from St. Petersburg, Florida asks, what is the difference between the Jewish spring feasts and fall feasts? Are they literally related to literal sowing and reaping of a harvest, or is it all a spiritual metaphor?
Well, Landon, yes, and yes, they are related to the cycle of harvest. Israel was an agricultural society, and the feasts, for the most part, are very often celebrating the various harvests, the barley harvest, the first wheat harvest, the final harvest at Sukkot. And then there's also days that are memorials. Rosh Hashanah has become the new year, but it was the Feast of Trumpets, the blowing of the shofar, the shofarot, preparing the people to worship God. And then Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, was very significant. So they're either agricultural or they're ceremonial, but they're also prophetic. They're not just metaphors, they're prophetic events on God's calendar, the cycle of feasts that point to the redemptive plan of God through the Messiah, either His first coming or His return, and fulfill. Let me talk about fulfill for a minute. Fulfill is best understood not as bringing to an end, but to fill full. Just reverse the syllables and you understand that this is a glass being filled, as being filled to fullness, or filled to fullness, rather. And the spring feasts and the fall feasts are a matter of timing. They're different events that have a fulfillment or a filling full with either an agricultural harvest or a ceremonial remembrance, like Passover commemorates the exodus out of Egypt and the lamb that was slain to protect the children of Israel from the angel of death. Jesus, Yeshua, becomes our Passover lamb. He celebrates or observes that final Passover and brings new meaning. He literally is resurrected on first fruits, and the Holy Spirit's poured out on Pentecost or Shavuot, as we spoke about today. And then you have later on the fall feasts that are, I believe, directly connected to Yeshua's return.
Yeah.
It's the national repentance and of Israel. I believe it's connected to the recognition of Yeshua and mourning for him and repenting. And then the final ingathering is the Feast of Tabernacles or Sukkot. These are rich, Ezra, and they're for every believer. They're in the inheritance not only of the people of Israel, but those who sojourn with the people of Israel who are ingrafted through the Messiah. You're a spiritual son or daughter of Abraham, and this is your inheritance. I want to make that I can't say that enough. This is your inheritance, and that's why you have to understand this cycle of feasts and how Yeshua is at the center. Jesus is at the center of all of them.
Great.
Yeah, it's so important.
Critically
Thank you,
important. John from Prescott, Arizona asks, why is there a separate Hebrew calendar and how is it different from the Western one I use every day?
The biblical calendar comes first. The Gregorian calendar, and it was a lunar calendar, and it's the biblical calendar. This is God's established timetable and cycle through the year. So you have a biblical calendar and then a later Gregorian calendar that our calendar is based on, but obviously we observe both. They're
sure.
both important,
sure.
and they both exist. One is lunar, one is solar. Sometimes they connect with each other. Celebrate the biblical feasts. Understand how Yeshua is at the center of all of these feasts and celebrate them in their fullness. If you have prayer needs, if you'd like more information about our ministry or the things we've talked about, you can log on to our website. It's packed with information. Our website is jewishvoice.tv, jewishvoice.tv. I want to leave you with this. God loves you, and so do we. And as we close our program, I also want to remind you to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, as we're exhorted in Psalm 122:6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love thee. So pray this week for Israel and the Jewish people. Until next time, this is Jonathan Burness along with Ezra Benjamin saying shalom and God bless you.